Debor, good morning, everybody. Wednesday morning, we're well into the month of June now and well into winter. Whoa, someone left the aircon on outside. Holy shit, they were talking about how Joburg might even have snow. Did you hear that?
Hey, man, I heard it.
No, I'm not happy about it either. Jack McLant is with me and we are live. It is, it's a chilly morning, but I went to sleep last night with a scratchy throat and I was like, oh no, I don't need this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, come on, guys. Oh, not now.
This part of the year, you know, is a bit stressful.
Jack, I was doing so well, man. I was like, I'm not going to get sick. I still might be able to ward it off. I'm holding thumbs, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do that. What's been happening besides your birthday yesterday, dude? Happy birthday. It was Jack's birthday yesterday. He's now very, very old.
Very old at 35 years of age. Goodbye to youth. You guys.
Yeah, you can't be in the youth league anymore.
Yeah, no. Truth be told, the youth of this days, like, they annoy me. Too sensitive. But I don't want to be counted in that bracket.
Some people try to hang on to the youth thing well into their 40s. Oh, that's disgusting. It's disgraceful. And also, there is no shame in being a little bit older. There's no shame in being a little bit wiser.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you're not an invalid.
Yeah.
You're not like 1 foot in the grave.
No, far from it. I'm still at the age where I can confidently say that I've got more of my life ahead of me than I have behind me, which is not a problem.
I think I can still get away with that as well for now. For now.
Yeah. Because when you think about it, at the end of the day, your experiences make up your life. And the fact that I have gotten this far, like there are people
spot on
who are only on this planet, unfortunately, for like a month. And they're gone.
You know, That's the difficult thing, is that you realize suddenly, like, the miracle is that you're here.
Exactly.
Right? Some people only figure that out very late in life. And I'm like, you poor, poor creature.
Yeah, I think that is the most heartbreaking thing.
You were sitting here worrying about money and relationships and material possessions and politics and all this stuff. And you failed to realize, like, the miracle is that you exist.
Yeah.
That out of all the chances in your family tree going back as long and far as you'd wish to, those people had to have sex at exactly the right time.
Right.
The right sperm had to get to the right egg.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you would not exist. So the fact that you exist, and I don't know what the odds are exactly, but I guarantee you it's more than winning the lotto 10 million times in a row. So,
because, I mean, when you think about it.
You won. Good luck. You wake up this morning and you are conscious. You won.
That's actually what winning is all about. No. I am admittedly a very, very lazy person. If I had the choice,
I don't know.
Seriously, if I had the choice, I'd be in bed right now. But I realize that I've been given an opportunity to get some shit done.
Mm.
And I would much rather do that than call it quits. And every morning I can actually drag myself out of bed and do something productive. Is a W for me. That is a major W. Oh,
man. Yeah, well, I wish more people would wake up with that attitude. And there is your bit of motivation for the morning.
Yes,
brought
sir.
To you by Gareth and Jack on the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. Hey, you might see our billboards around town in Johannesburg. We've got a couple of those up and running.
Yep.
So if you do, there's a little competition going on. You can find out more on social media. Just follow The Real Network. And while you're at it, just like and subscribe what we're doing here this morning. And on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for you. So we haven't talked politics with you since before the election. And in fact, a week before, because we didn't even do last week's show. It was election day.
Yeah. I actually did a show that morning of the elections, just trying to get people
I heard a bit of it.
To the polls and give them as much information as we possibly could pack into a 2-hour show.
Yep.
And yeah, it was very interesting. I love the fact that South Africans are typically untrustworthy because on the day of elections, there were a bunch of people standing outside of voting stations in their regalia and all of this stuff. But let me tell you something. If what they were wearing and what the election results gave us
yeah.
was aligned, the ANC would have a majority. It would have won by a landslide. But because I trust that South Africans knew that Msaga is a real thing. Like, we had to make South Africa great again.
By the way, so we're selling these hats now for those people who want to know. And they're a limited edition, so we're not going to keep them going forever. That's why you'll find only on the website that we'll post the link for. I already did in my social media, but I'll post them again for you just now. But I got like some heat from people. Oh. You know, the same thing happened when Donald Trump made the Make America Great Again hats, which is the inspiration for this. Because people immediately assumed, oh, when was South Africa great? So I'm like, 94?
Yeah.
99?
Yeah.
Pretty much all the way up to 2007, 8?
Yeah.
We were a pretty good country.
Yeah.
So I think what they assume is, because they have insecurity problems and they also aren't very well read, don't understand anything, so pretty much morons, is that they only see South Africa in two tranches. They see pre-94 and post-94, and they think, I mean, pre-94 was when we were great.
No.
Well, dummies, sorry to disappoint you so early in the morning, but that's not at all what it meant. And you know what? For some people, there are different points in our history that were great. We discussed this with Leanne on Monday. People think that whatever was happening when they were 15 to 20 years old is the greatest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So anyone, anywhere will think that was when it was the greatest. Doesn't matter who you are. Just rewind your life back to 15 to 20 years old. You thought this is the best place.
Yep. But best music, we've actually best got stats to back up what we're talking about.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, it's any person that does not recognize the fact that this country was great between the time that you mentioned, 94 and like roughly 2006, 2007. Yep. If you don't recognize that, like, I hope this cat triggers you.
Good. Yeah, get upset.
I'm glad it triggers you because you're an idiot, truth be told.
Right. Good morning, you beautiful sons of bitches. I've subscribed to YouTube Premium because of Cliff Central, says Carl DeSantos. I'm so glad because you have been moaning like a stuck pig, my friend. And we've been trying to provide this solution to you. Now you can see the show live. You can also have it running on your phone while you're doing other things. It's phenomenal.
Great.
Yeah. I had no idea it means I can lock my phone and keep playing YouTube. Look forward to the burning platform. Well, all of the stuff, right? I mean, isn't YouTube just the server for everything?
Right now it is.
That's where you go.
Yeah.
A happy birthday, Jack, came in from Viasen.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we got a very nice compliment from you for you from Congo Chris. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to commend Jack on an excellent Election Day show.
Ah, thank you for tuning in, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. I was joined by Xavier Bapu.
Yes.
Who is, you know, like, you know, when you meet people that have a passion for something that's completely outside the scope of what they do on a day-to-day, it's always inspiring to know that you can have an actual career but pursue your passions on the side. I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, so most of us are just happy if we can pursue our career.
Yeah.
Some people manage to squeeze a whole lot more in. I also think this is quite nice. Thank you very much, Sive. She says, Gareth, take some med lemon. It tastes horrible, but it works fast. So
listen.
I will listen. Come hell or high water, I'll be here for Friday's show.
Do you know what my remedy is? You get stony ginger beer.
Ah, stony.
You
stony,
boil that stony, and then you mix
boil
it with
it.
Some. Yeah, you boil it on the stove.
Okay.
Mix it with some med lemon. I promise you, you'll wake up feeling like a champ the following morning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know about your recipe. I think I'll give that a skip. It tastes probably revolting.
It does.
Okay. Carl, why didn't you guys just tell me I could solve the problem with money? I was moaning like a little bitch. Hey, you can solve a lot of problems with money. Hey?
Yeah.
Like a lot of problems. By the way, I see like Floyd Shivambu proving to us he knows nothing about how the economy works. So I'll be very relieved if he's not our Minister of Finance.
Oh, yeah.
Because he says the reason that the economy is shrinking is because white people are holding back their money. Floyd.
What?
You realize that the biggest player in the economy is the government? You realize that the only people who have actual laws preventing them from behaving in a free way economically are white people, right? You realize that. Like, there are imperatives on white businesses that are not placed on black businesses or in businesses that are owned by people with disabilities, for example. So I don't know what you're talking about precisely. I don't know if any of it would make sense, even if you did explain it to me. But like, there are only a handful of white people. Stop like imagining there's something powerful out there that's preventing you from being fantastic. Maybe it's just that you're shit, Floyd.
Like,
you know, I mean, like, how can you be so obsessed with how many whites are left in this country? Like 4 million, maybe? Maybe 3 million and something?
Yeah.
It's tiny, okay? Small. How can you be so obsessed with the white people when they're not that interested in you, if that's what you're saying?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, it bothers me when this kind of low resolution thinking is put on national platforms.
Yeah.
Like, there should be some checks and balances. Like, when someone says something stupid, we should not give it air. Like,
well,
at all.
I think that Elon has tried to put community notes in for that reason. And it seems to work pretty well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, like, there's no accounting for this kind of ridiculous statement. And I know that there are people who think, I mean, I want a government of national unity type thing. I do think there are portfolios of the EFF would be very handy.
Yeah.
You know, and I said so on social media. I said they would be good at running housing or social development because that's where poor people are. And they, if they promise to deliver services, make sure the SASSA grants get to people, make sure that new houses are built in poor areas, upgrade people's living conditions, the kind of portfolio where they could do what they keep telling us they want to do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a smart government that's generous of spirit, whoever it's made up of, would say, okay, guys, you know what? Rather than having you moaning outside, pissing into the tent from the outside, let's give you a job. See how you do that.
Yeah.
But yo, if you put this guy in charge of the economy, we're in big trouble because I don't think he understands how money is made. I don't think he understands where it comes from. He's clearly with the VBS scandal. He and his brother are very into stealing other people's money. Mm. So I don't think it would be a good idea to trust him with the country's money. But that's just, you know, off the top of my head. There are so many other things that we could talk about. I know everybody suddenly became an expert on coalition governments. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It's like Oscar Pistorius was all the rage, then everybody was a lawyer. When COVID came along, everyone was a health expert.
Yep.
When the World Cup football comes along, everyone's a football expert.
Yep. And you know what? It's
now everyone knows everything about coalition governments.
I blame social media.
I had someone at the gym yesterday. At the gym, dude. You know, I think the best coalition is XYZ. I'm like, you know what?
You know what? Just do your bench press and set the fuck up. Like, yeah, like, I mean, we don't need that.
I'm not volunteering more information than I absolutely have to. And people are actually asking me. Now, you have to have some hubris to just go up to complete strangers and tell them what you think a coalition government should be made of. Like, you really have to have a massive amount of undeserved self-confidence.
Yeah, and it's like,
let me tell you, if the ANC and, you know, if the DA and MK can come together with the Freedom Front and IFP, they'll have a majority. I'm like, you. So you've proven you can add.
Hmm.
Okay, wow.
Here's your naughty badge.
Well done, hey.
There you go.
Your but like, mother must be so proud.
It's the truth of the matter is we are in uncharted waters as a country as far as this whole coalition on a national scale is
concerned.
Isn't
it exciting?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely amazing. What I'm hoping for is they'll get the opportunity to watch one another. So you'll have the ANC watching the DA and vice versa and all of this stuff. All I ask of these political elites is, for heaven's sake, do not put the ANC and the EFF together. It's a bad idea. The one wants to push NHI, the one wants open borders. Don't do it. Do not do it, please. But outside of that, I genuinely have no thoughts about this, the whole coalition thing. Like, whatever it is these people decide, we'll watch and try to figure out, right?
You know what? There are some very, very funny people who listen to this show, who probably smarter than all of the rest of us put together. Conga Chris says, Floyd is right, Floyd Chivambu. Mm-hmm. It took Carl years to spend the 50 Rand for YouTube premium, so white people are holding on to their money. And then Carl himself says, yeah, us whites must be superhuman, like 4% of us left here, but we make all the cuck and take all the money. At the whites meeting tonight, I'm adding this to the agenda.
Oh.
Do you want to come to the whites meeting?
No.
No, they won't notice.
They won't even notice.
They won't notice.
Like, I will just walk meeting. In and say, hey, China's, oh, you're going to be great. Hey, Oaks.
Dude, listen, before we get off of South Africa, because there's so much I want to talk about this morning.
Yeah.
Just KZN. I mean, yes, that province has been through a lot.
It has.
And now these tornadoes they had over the weekend. Jesus. I mean, I got these videos, right?
Mm.
People's houses, the roofs blown off, the trees are all smashed to pieces.
Yeah, it looks.
It looks like a scene from Verdun in World War I. It's absolutely frightening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about the people I know who live in KZN, and everybody who's been through a lot there. You know, it's pretty fucking horrible. That's all I can say.
Yep.
And, you know, if you...
Thoughts
if you,
and prayers, man.
Absolutely. Prayers. What else can we send you?
Yeah.
You know, we can't give you political autonomy because you'll choose MK. So all we can send you is thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, truthfully. That's all we can send you. But I mean, you know, we are always being told how South Africans are resilient. I guess this is another opportunity for us to do so. And, you know, it's crazy. When I was much younger, we didn't have these kind of things happening in the country. But like in the past 15 or 10 years, we've had everything from earth tremors, tornadoes,
we did
floods.
Have them. That's not entirely right. The first thing is that we have social media now. Mm. So stuff spreads a lot quicker and places that you wouldn't normally know about.
Right.
You would have read about on page 25 of the newspaper.
Once. Right.
Now you have to see it on your screen, on your device, and it makes it feel like things are getting worse. So that's not true.
Okay.
You know, and the weather doesn't, you know, there are a lot of people who obviously jump to conclusions. They're like, well, this must mean that God hates KZN.
Ugh.
Or that it's some kind of sign from the universe about, listen,
climate change and all of
come
that
on.
Stuff.
It's a province that it's coastal.
Yeah.
There's a huge mountain range on the one side. This is not complicated, guys. You don't need to bring in, you know, the gods and start throwing the bones and and getting an augurer to read the entrails of birds.
Mm.
You can study a little geography and meteorology, and I think you'll be able to make fairly decent sense of the fact that KZN is, as a province, prone to a lot of unique weather conditions.
Yeah.
And occasionally some really terrible things happen. I don't want that to happen. Nobody does. But it's happening. KZN used too much dark magic to get MK into power. Now Gogo Maweni, who votes EFF, is punishing them. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love how people jump to these conclusions, even if they are just being funny.
Yeah.
So talking about jumping to conclusions, did you see Fauci?
Oi, oi, oi.
What
that
a
old
son
man.
Of a bitch.
Oh,
so this,
that old
this
man.
Fauci. Now, this guy has some nerve. He appears in front of Congress. Second time he's had to go there and account for himself. The first time he wasn't very cooperative, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the problem with the virus is it's not 100%. There's no way we could be sure, 100% sure. But you were telling us you were.
Exactly.
I mean, which was right, Fauci 2020 or Fauci 2024? Because they're saying completely different things. They are dissonant. They are not able to share the same point of view on something.
No, they can't.
Which one's lying, dude?
That's the problem when you are a professional liar. Like, if if you are giving your marching orders and you're giving your talking points and it's like, look, don't deviate from here, then you'll be fine. What I found absolutely laughable was when they asked him about the whole 6 feet, you know, social distancing thing. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, no, the CDC came up with that. I was just regurgitating what they told me.
They just made it up. They made it up. They just invented it.
Yep.
Now, I would like, but it's never going to happen. I would like all those people that I know personally who were like, well, you must obey the rules. Put on the mask. Just do it. Just go with the flow. Why are you being so rebellious? Why don't you just use the hand sanitizer? why don't you maintain social distance? You remember those stupid fucking stickers they had everywhere in buildings all over this country?
Yep.
I know there are still signs up that say COVID-19.
Yeah.
Beware. Like you see some people haven't taken them down, like the political posters, which won't be taken down for 6 months.
Mm.
If you are one of those people, I just want you to know, I will be bringing this up when I see you in conversation. I will be humiliating and embarrassing you at every opportunity I get going forward. I'm going to make you cry because I'm going to make you realize that not only are you a dumb ignoramus who follows every government diktat, even if it's nonsense,
mm-hmm.
even if it comes from an obvious bureaucratic tyrant like Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people saying, oh, you know, thank God for Dr. Fauci. Do you remember there were those pray for Fauci candles? Oh. You remember? That is face on. There were people lighting them all over the United States of America. If you are one of those people, I'm your worst nightmare. I can't wait to see you. Those people with the stickers, those people who used to wear the gloves, who put on the masks. There's still people wearing the masks.
There still are.
I saw one in the airport on Saturday. I will walk up to them from now on.
He's like, especially now that take that stupid thing off.
Now that Fauci's out there having to account for himself, and we know he made up everything. Just like our National Coronavirus Command Council. Remember them?
Ooh.
And I went on TV because I had a show on television at that point, and I was saying, this is nonsense. And did I get people crapping on me from a dizzy height? Oh, do you want my grand to die? Do you remember that?
Of course not. I remember the open letter that you wrote. I remember that. I shared it on my Facebook and a bunch of people came for me. They're like, dude, you're going against the science. What are you saying? In fact, I
think about the people who had relatives dying in hospital.
Yeah.
I think about the people who had funerals during that time that were prevented from sitting next to a sobbing relative and consoling them because of Fauci's dumb 6-foot rule.
Yeah.
This is not just a thing where I was rebellious and other people were compliant. There were actual hard costs for society. I'm not talking about the economy and all those businesses that closed, how many businesses couldn't operate at all,
mm-hmm.
had to shut down completely.
Yep.
This is apart from load shedding, the economy, and all the other difficulties that we have in this country running a business. But I'm talking about businesses that actually closed because of those COVID rules. And I'm not talking about people who sneaked, a couple of drinks from a shop that they knew the guy and opened the back door. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these people who genuinely suffered, the school kids
mm-hmm.
who are going to be retarded. And I use that word advisedly because what I mean by it is that they will be behind.
Yep.
That's what retarded means when it comes to their overall development, the wasted time in school.
Mm.
You know, there are matrics that are going to graduate. I think this year's, even last year's, were even products of this problem.
Yeah.
There is a high cost that we have paid as a country and as a world for the stupidity of people like Anthony Fauci, who are now admitting, by the way, there's no threat of him going to jail or him paying a fine.
Which is the biggest load of bullshit, because at the same time, this man actually made a lot of money as a result of the lies that he was peddling.
So did so many people in the health business.
Which is why I didn't get vaccinated, by the way.
And if you don't forget, if you spoke out like we're saying we did, and I remember you also being vocal about this, there were people like Dr. Jonathan Witt who spoke out about kids not being a serious risk during this process and that they should go to school. You shouldn't have to force a mask onto a 4 or 5 year old
mm-hmm.
And make them breathe in their own stale air for hours at school. You remember the petty tyrants?
Yeah.
The neighbors who were telling on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to know I'm not forgetting. I am bitter and resentful about this. And I'm going to make sure you remember how dumb you were so that the next time something like this happens, you think twice, like we did mm-hmm. this time.
Mm. Hopefully, you'll be able to think clearly this time around because, listen, under no circumstances am I willing to go back into some sort of lockdown and whatnot. Plus, nowadays, there's this new flu that's going around. Apparently, it's hectic or whatever.
The swine flu. No, I've heard some people have been hit by quite hard. But That
but
happens.
If at any point in time I'm told that I need to restrict my movement or I have to put on gloves or put on a mask or whatnot,
go to hell.
There's the biggest middle finger on the planet. I'll find it and show it to all of you because I am not going back to living my life that way. It's not happening.
You wanted to show us a picture from Fauci's testimony.
Oh, in fact, it's a little clip. So they found a recording of him having, what they would call locker room talk behind closed doors where no one would hear what was going on. Listen to this SOB, man. It's madness.
Let's go.
Thing can be done about it. I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us, you get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
Thank you.
So,
can be done.
I believe is technically, in my mind, a mass murderer. He's pointing out the fact that if you were a dissenting voice during that time, you were it's ideological bullshit, and all you need to do is put pressure on all of these other companies, and we'd be forced to get vaccinated. It's like, firstly, it shows that there was clear intent. They knew exactly what they were doing when they were saying all of this stuff and when they put all of these laws into motion. And a couple of years later, we have to sit and listen to these kind of clips and not get mad? How is that man not behind bars?
By the way, Max Sony says, how did we end up on this topic again? Well, Fauci's being grilled by Congress.
Yeah.
That's why. So he's being forced to tell the truth.
Yep.
Which he has assiduously avoided every step of the way up to now. So actually, yes, we're going to talk about this. And
yes,
I'm glad it's come up. That clip is just appalling.
It is absolutely
that
appalling.
That is how tyrants talk.
Yeah. Right?
They're like, well, we'll just force them to abandon their preconceived moral notions about things. Because, as he said, schools and universities will force people. Great.
You want to come to this school, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. And you know what? I don't remember where I heard this phrase, but I think it was Boston Legal or something like that, where I think Alan Shaw was pointing out the fact that the moment people get scared, they'll give up anything. For whatever reason,
they will.
From 2019 into 2020, people got in such a panic that calm minds were not the rule of thumb for the day. Everyone was trying to scamper into a little corner so that they could hide, where in actuality, the opposite was what was needed. We needed more people standing up, more people speaking up, more people being able to be outside. Like the amount of mental health damage that the most of us faced during those years is absolutely insane.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about the ones that actually got the jab. I'm saying whether you got it or not.
It's not going away, guys. And you know what? The benefit of hindsight is you can look back and you can find all the bullshitters.
Yep.
And you can actually talk about the stuff that is true. We know there is now fact and there is fiction. And all those people who were saying, trust the science. Do you remember them?
Ugh.
See, my problem isn't just with Fauci. You just said it a moment ago. It's like, it's the fact that people suddenly become hugely compliant.
Oy.
They'll go along. Like, you know, Germany did when 6 million people were sent to the gas chambers. And Germany, the ordinary folks were like, eh.
Well.
You know, it doesn't take a majority of people for an entire nation, an entire world, an entire civilization to start doing stupid and destructive stuff. It just takes enough of them to convince the rest of them that they will be left out of the tent.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Anyway. I mean, I did want to bring that up because it's a big news story. It's happening again. It's not going away anytime soon.
And I'm sorry to all of you who took the jab.
Yeah, Snipes said something interesting here that I just want to get back to quickly, which, no mention of the independent candidates in the South African election. Money wasted, I guess. Well, we're jumping around a bit here, but yeah, I'll mention them. It'll take all of 20 seconds. Who cares?
No one.
Independent candidates, waste of time, waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, guys. You stood up for yourselves. It's awesome. But nothing's going to happen. Not one of you got to parliament. Not Zaki Ahmad. My aunt was like, I'm voting for Zaki Ahmad. I was like, okay,
good luck with that.
Yeah, like very good.
You know
good
what?
Work. She's listening right now. I hope she's paying attention.
Yeah,
waste of a vote there.
My heart breaks a little bit for Anil Mda. I like her a lot.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, you knew the rules of the game when you jumped in. So,
I feel sorry for Colleen Makubele, too, with her little Sara party. They got like 1,200 votes. One of them was Canton's. You know what? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, people all got a 2,000 of you did a great job.
I just think next year or next time we have an election, let's just increase the basic barrier to entry. First of all, because it helps these people that have delusions of grandeur. It helps them to not waste so much of their own money. Because I know that a lot of these candidates financed. We spoke to Anel Mda. She financed it herself. We spoke to Colleen. She did a lot of that herself, right? Her own money. Now, it's got to be pretty horrible if you put your own money up, if you're not just borrowing from rich donors, not borrowing, but taking from rich donors or from the IEC itself. And then you don't end up with a seat.
Oof.
It's like, you know, that's like going to the casino, placing it all on red and then comes up black. You're like, come on, guys.
I keep saying, see, you thought you were Billy Badass until you ran into Billy Badass. Okay?
Yeah.
Just let it go. Look, I'll commend you for putting your, you know, name in the race.
I'm sad about one in particular.
Yeah.
I'm very sad that ACT didn't get at least two seats. Do you know why?
No.
Because Ace Magashule would have been one of them, and the other one would have been Burning and Tlemeza. And I really wanted Burning and Tlemeza to have something to do in the new dispensation. But alas, you know, I wasn't enough.
You
don't always
get what you want.
I wasn't enough to get him across the line. Sorry, dude. We tried.
Good luck.
So what else is in the news? Let's take a look here. There is a lot of talk about Kanye West, who's being sued for harassment by an ex-assistant. Yes, you know,
hey, these
suddenly
musicians.
Every musician has got a target on their back or on their front, depending. He's being sued for sexual harassment, breach of contract, and wrongful termination by a woman who worked as his assistant for 2 years. Now, I know I'm jumping to a conclusion, but this is probably what everybody does. Most people would jump to a conclusion that, oh, well, Kanye is a terrible person. I jump to the conclusion that maybe this woman is just looking for money and she made the whole thing up.
Yeah, okay? That is a possibility.
Because what are the incentives? What, she suddenly, because she worked for him until 2022. So what, she's waited for 2 years. She sat on her eggs for 2 years. She's been like, I don't know, going through the worst trauma because she was sexually harassed. Let's take her at her word.
Sure.
And then decides 2 years later, well, now's the time to kick in.
Well, apparently part of her claim is the fact that Kanye was supposed to pay her $2 million or something like that, and he still hasn't done so.
Here's why I think she's a liar, okay? According to documents, she's primarily supporting herself via her OnlyFans profile.
Oh, yes.
This is when she met him in 2021. She only worked for him from 2021 to 2022. So it's not like she was there for a whole long time. He didn't even know her, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, she was an OnlyFans model.
Yeah.
Okay. She says he hired her to work on the first season of his Yeezy women's fashion line. And they ended up collaborating on three tracks from his Donda album. She does not have any formal credits on the record, however. So she's claiming she worked on songs,
okay,
but she's an OnlyFans model.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. We've got to start telling people who we think are bullshitting, I don't believe you, whether it's Fauci or this woman. What's her name? Lauren Pisciotta.
Ay, ay, ay.
Pisciotta. Okay. West subsequently hired her as his personal assistant with an annual salary of $1 million. It's good money. That on the condition that she was available 24/7. Because he's a lunatic, right?
Yeah.
He wakes up at 3 a.m. You go, I got an idea. Yo, write this down.
Yep.
That's what she needs to be available for. She says she agreed to the terms. Okay, so far, no fault of Kanye's. Mm. According to a lawsuit, West was initially comfortable with her continuing her OnlyFans business. However, in 2022, he allegedly stated that he wanted her to be godlike and asked to delete her account in exchange for a further $1 million. I mean, that's nice. I think that's nice of the guy.
It's like, stop whoring. Here's $1 million. Right?
Here's $1 million to stop whoring.
Yeah, just stop whoring.
I mean, who would say no to that?
No.
That is genuinely a very good deal. I don't think she was making $1 million off of her OnlyFans account. Yeah, I didn't even know who this woman was until now.
Yeah, neither did I.
So this guy, out of the kindness of his heart, is willing to pay her $1 million more to just stop whoring online.
And she was like, no.
After she closed the account, she claimed she was bombarded with explicit text messages from West, including pornographic videos. She also claims he masturbated while talking to her on the phone and that on one occasion, he pleasured himself in front of her after trapping her in a private room on his plane. Well, it's convenient convenient you're the only two who can tell the story. And what, let me guess, Kanye's going to say it didn't happen.
Oh my goodness.
And let me guess, you don't have any of those videos anymore that he sent you.
No.
Or the screenshots or any of that. You don't have any of that anymore.
None
do you?
Of
and
it.
If you do, you held on to them for 2 years before you decided to make a move because now there's money up for grabs.
It was like it was like she bought a stock and she was waiting for it to get to the right price and then sell.
Let me tell you something. You don't know, man or woman. You don't know. Someone might be playing with themselves when you're on the phone to them today. Yeah. You might be on a business call. I hate to break it to you. You might be talking about shares and stocks. You might be talking about the elections. And you know what? Someone could be busy with their erection. You don't know. So stop it. Just stop. This is nonsense. This is like these people who everything's fine. And when they break up, then the guy was sexually harassing her.
And
he
had
verbally abused me. Called me names. I need $1 million. Otherwise, I'm just never going to feel better.
Ugh.
Please. Listen, Kanye West has got big problems, okay?
Yeah.
But he got 99 problems, but this bitch ain't one.
Definitely.
To borrow Jay-Z's line.
I think that was perfectly put.
It's just unbelievable. So good luck, Lauren Pisciotta.
I won't even say good luck.
I'll go on record. Nah, well, good luck to her because she's clearly deluded. I will go on record saying, I don't believe you.
Hmm? Unless you've got some sort of evidence. Short of that, listen, good luck. In fact, why don't you just hop back onto OnlyFans, seemingly now that everyone knows your name. Yeah. In fact, that would be the quickest way for you to make some money.
Yeah. Let's see you make $1 million on OnlyFans now.
Yeah, go.
Kanye.
Do it.
Let me tell you something. The fact that she revealed that he gave her $1 million to get off OnlyFans is the greatest compliment to his character that I've heard in a long time since he said all those Jew-hating things.
Yeah.
This is the best thing anyone said about Kanye, and she's trying to get money out of him. Congo Chris is right. Beware the machoshas, gentlemen.
Be very aware.
Sticking your collie in crazy might feel good at the time, but in the end, it is you who will be fucked. Spot on.
Sideways, hey?
Spot on. Mm. I start off telemarketing conversations with, you know, I'm touching myself right now, says Bitcoin Boot. That's very clever.
That is very clever.
Yes. I was getting, a month ago or so, for about 6 weeks, this company was calling me every second day.
Mm.
And we've talked about this before on the show, but, you know, you will eventually try anything to get rid of them.
I
lost my temper once, didn't make a difference. Mm. I asked nicely once, didn't make a difference. I explained to them that I have no money.
Didn't make a difference.
Nothing. They just kept coming. So
I like the moment I realize it's a telemarket, I just answer the phone and leave it where it is.
Yeah.
I don't even bother responding. It's like, okay, have this conversation by yourself. I imagine that the air would love to buy whatever it is that you're selling at this point in time. Good luck with that. Just leave it as is. It'll actually give you a couple of minutes away from your phone. And Carl, some of us need
Carl says he just Googled that woman. She's hot. I'm suddenly on her side.
Carl, you know what? Send her a message and tell her to restart her OnlyFans. You'll be her first client, I guess. Right? I don't care how hot she is, man. If she's walking around making lies about people, who gives a fuck? Like, let her jump. Genuinely.
Yeah. Promise Okoroji says, my ex called me a creep and a stalker when we broke up. Yeah. But she didn't say that while she was with you.
Yep.
I mean, somehow the creep and stalker stuff wasn't a problem while you were dating. Suddenly, after you broke up, she was like, oh, I've just realized you're a creep and a stalker.
Mm.
Great.
The thing is, it's all fun and games when the dog is under your leadership. But the moment you let it go, you realize that, hold on, this thing's got teeth and it actually bites.
Let me just ask you another thing. Right, this woman, before she met Kanye, was perfectly okay with anyone in the world paying for her OnlyFans and masturbating their hearts out.
Yeah.
Now suddenly she's what? She's too proud. She's too prim and proper to put up with Kanye West. I mean, what a compliment if you're an OnlyFans whore.
Can you
for
imagine?
Kanye West to be interested in your videos and making funny noises on the phone. See? You should be so lucky, Lauren.
It's funny how being broke and morality kind of work together for this lady.
Yes. Hmm? Unreal, man.
It's like, yo, I'm so broke, I just realized that I've got morals. Damn it, Kanye. Why would you do that to me?
Anyway, people are going to start talking like this again because we're all sick of this politically correct nonsense where you just believe anyone who claims to be a victim.
My problem is the overcorrection. Like, sure, in the past, we have got this shit wrong.
Right.
I am not disputing that.
No, of course.
But the overcorrection is just madness to me. Like, just the phrase, believe all women.
Nonsense. Mm. What a stupid phrase.
Sorry. It's not happening. It's not happening.
All men are trash. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
These blanket statements that are said as if they are the totality of existence is actually pretty dumb. Because what you ultimately find out is that you're putting your loved ones in the same group.
We've got to go to an interview. We're going to talk to someone who's, I think, doing pretty awesome work. And we to shine the light on people who are doing cool things. But I do have to say, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is also going to be in court this week. I mean, we had Donald Trump last week being convicted by a jury in New York. Surprise, surprise. Imagine that. A place where he got like 10 votes out of 20,000 in that district.
The entire court case was a farce. It was a farce.
It seems especially good when you do it with that hat on.
Yes.
But Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's derelict son, this guy who was like sniffing Parmesan cheese up on the carpet of a filthy hotel room because he thought it was Coke because the guy's such a crackhead. Hunter Biden, who was so high that when he bought a gun, his then girlfriend, who happens to also have been the widow of his other brother. This is a very messed up family. All right?
Oh, my goodness.
Very messed up. This is like trailer park stuff.
This is medieval.
Hunter Biden buys a gun. His girlfriend, who, as I said, was his brother's widow, doesn't feel comfortable with him having a gun because he's always high.
Mm.
So she just takes the gun and throws it in a trash can outside a school. Kind of irresponsible behavior, if you ask me. And Hunter lied because when he applied for the gun, he promised them, and you have to declare this in writing in America. People say it's easy to get a gun, but you have to say that you're not high on drugs when you buy the gun.
Of course.
Okay. Everybody anywhere would know that's a pretty good rule. If you're high on drugs, you shouldn't have a gun.
You shouldn't.
So he's got to go and fight these and other charges. Of course, there was another charge of him carrying around bags of money for the Biden family from China and Russia and Ukraine and wherever else they needed to get their money from.
And a bunch of other things on that laptop.
Right.
Mm.
And the laptop. We won't even talk about the laptop. Remember how we were lied to about that as well. And it's Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
Remember?
And can you imagine now you're going through all of this stuff and your dad is a dementia patient.
Oh my God.
It's a lot.
By the way, the best part of this is that Jill Biden, his stepmom, is sitting right behind him during the trial, looking really concerned, like being the mother hen of the family. Meanwhile, in a recording and in transcripts, he is recorded as calling her the C word.
Wow.
And saying that she has this degree in education from a university that has a building named after Biden. So I wonder how she got the degree, and that she wouldn't be able to teach a third grade class because she's so stupid. And yet she's standing, sitting behind him in court. Listen, America, I hate to say it. I love America. I love Americans, but you deserve to have to choose between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. You deserve it. That's what you're going to get.
I imagine Hunter was going through a couple of withdrawal symptoms when he said that.
The guy's been high. Listen, he's older than I am, right?
Mm.
And he still needs daddy to bail him out.
Yep.
He still needs daddy's money, daddy's help. He still calls daddy during meetings so that he can convince people to do terrible deals with him.
And I feel like the world...
My dad's the president. Hang on, let me get my dad on the phone. Dad, you're almost 50-year-old or maybe even older than 50-year-old man. Daddy, won't you talk to these people and tell them they must give me money because you're the president? What a pathetic loser.
And I feel like the world is sprouting out more of these people.
He's even got an illegitimate child that he had with like some stripper, and he refuses to acknowledge her. He refuses. He won't even take responsibility for that. He is a deadbeat dad in addition to all those other really shit things about him. So say what you will about Donald Trump and his children. You might not like Ivanka. You might think Don Jr. and Eric are horrible people. They don't come close to all of these things I've just told you that are all true and not in any dispute about Hunter Biden. So you tell me who the worst family are.
And he's 54.
It's 54. Huh? How embarrassing.
That is like...
Ugh. What a joke. What? All right. Well, let's turn our attention to something a little upbeat and positive here. Because... I'm going to get on Jabulani Mthombeni and Zamashenge Zita, both of whom are co-founders of Isiyalo Wellness. Now, the reason I want to talk to these people is because they are doing something which up to now has been difficult to get done in South Africa. It's talking about mental health in places like Soweto. Because people in Soweto, especially men, are like, no, we don't talk about mental health.
Yeah, no.
You know, we have Dr. Hanan on every week here on this show. And we talk about mental health because we think it's really important. But Isiyalo Wellness is committed to providing comprehensive mental health support to the people of Soweto and surrounding areas. And I think if that's your purpose, we'll support you by at least trying to find out what you're all about and letting people know about you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get them on. Let's talk to them. Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Fantastic. Nice to have you on the show and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's an honor. Thank you.
So Jabulani and Zamashenge, tell me, how did it all start? How did you guys decide to come up with this?
Well, I was working with my sister. She's a psychologist. And she had asked me to do her admin things and her scheduling. And I realized that we have a big problem with scheduling in Soweto. Or people would call from Soweto and say, I would like to see her, but she's in Randburg. So we would struggle to find a place around Soweto where she would have people. So we'd have to find other psychologists that would be outside of Soweto to assist. So that's how we came up with the thought that how about we have that in our community and assist our people with that, because it is something that is really needed.
So Zama, I mean, it's not because Jack Mutlante lives in Soweto and he needs mental health help.
Yeah, I need quite a bit.
No.
I mean, there's never been anything like this in Soweto, right?
Not to my knowledge. I think more often than not, you would have to look for these kind of services. And more often than not, they would be outside of Soweto. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the need is obviously something you guys identified early on.
Yes, because we did see, you would get a lot of calls from people around Soweto that would say, I'm looking for a psychologist, because she is a psychologist, and you would have to send them to Randburg. And it's when you think about if someone is using public transport, getting to Randburg is not the easiest thing, especially when you having a mental health issue. You need to see someone immediately and they're not available at that point.
Now, Soweto has multiple issues, and one of them is the fact that a lot of people are unemployed in Soweto, and that plays into how a person might feel about themselves. It's one thing to help people deal with their mental health issues, but how do you, I guess remove to a certain extent the environment that they're in? Because I mean, walking into the therapist's office to get some help is one thing, but having to deal with the environment afterwards is a completely different thing. How are you guys lending some of your assistance to people to change their surroundings, or is it just about looking at the individual to make themselves better?
Well, no, we do look at working with people in their surroundings. We do work with other NGOs and other people that do support with people that have mental issues, people that have been hospitalized due to mental health issues. We do have support groups around the areas, or that also use our facilities to be able to assist families, to be able to assist individuals and communities at large on that.
So Jabulani, I mean, do you think men are going to be more reticent to come and make use of your services than women? Because we know guys across the board in South Africa are reluctant to seek help on these sorts of issues.
Well, to be honest, I initially didn't think so. But to my surprise, most of the guys that I have engaged personally are more than willing to come in. I think with guys, it's more a thing not recognizing the need of coming through, or not recognizing the need of speaking to somebody else in regards to what they have. But when they see one jump, more seem to report to say, oh, okay, maybe this is something that I can consider. So having said that, I think it's more and more important now for those that see the light to speak up, so that the others can join in. Because what you see more than anything, especially in around our neighborhood, is that the, let me not come under the bus for this, the foolish get more of the shine than those who actually know what the light looks like.
It's a business, though. I mean, let's, you know, nothing's for nothing, and often when people get something for free, then they don't appreciate it. You know, if you get something for nothing, you think, well, it's worth nothing. And you are business people. You're both entrepreneurs. So you're going to have to charge for this. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's probably not going to be, you know, bank-breaking expensive.
Yeah, it won't be a windfall.
But you are probably dealing with people who might not have that much disposable income. So how are you positioning it price-wise? Like, what kind of packages are you guys offering? And do you offer them for families, for individuals, for couples? Like, how does it all work?
With the pricing on that, we have psychologists, we have in-house psychologists for Isiolo, and we also have social workers. And social workers do the counseling, which is a bit cheaper, or much cheaper than the psychologist would. Charge. So the counseling would be around 500 to 600 rand. And if then they need psychological assistance, or they need any referrals, then they get referred through to the psychologist, which is about 900 rand to 1,000 rand.
Yeah, but I think on that, just to jump in also, that is why we are teaming up with NGOs and other individuals, so that you can figure out ways. Right now we're in talks in trying to set up an apparel shop that will generate as much as we can based on the situation, of course, to try and mitigate to those that we can reach, those we feel perhaps maybe cannot afford, or maybe even subsidize. I mean, we're still new. We're still trying to see how we can get there. And eventually, maybe we can try and even hold other business owners around here accountable for, you know, giving back to the community. So, yeah, it's still a learning experience as well, but we are getting there. And I think we have a good chance on at least putting a stamp on this that we can. And then we encourage others, of course. I mean, it's not just us that can fix a whole epidemic of it. So yeah, we encourage others to jump in.
you know, when people go into the kind of thing that you guys are going into, whether we like it or not, you're going to need people to buy into the idea. And more often than not, that happens when you are willing to work with the people around you. Are there any ways for people to join your movement? Like people that are sitting at home trying to figure out what to do with their lives and they could have a position within Isiolo, maybe perhaps as runners or just to assist, an extra set of hands. Do you guys have a portal whereby someone can join your movement?
Yeah. Like I said, we're still new. So let them not be surprised when they get to the portal and find it empty. Mm. But yeah, they can find us on Facebook, Isiolo Wellness. They can just drop us a message there. We are more than willing to have more hands come in. Mm. On Instagram, it's Isiolo _ wellness. And on any of those platforms, let them drop us a text, then we are more than happy to engage. Yeah, more hands, more work.
I like it.
So, you know, Gareth might not know this, so I'm going to school you in a second. Like, as South African Black people, a lot of us, when things go wrong in our lives, a lot of us tend to consult a spiritual guidance healer and all of this stuff. You know what I mean? Not necessarily breaking that tradition, but have you had some pushback when it comes to offering your services to people and they're like, you know what, man, I'd much rather go to Gogo Mieni, and you know what I mean?
So far, we haven't had that. People, I think, are more open. I think with the talks that have been happening around social media and around the country, people are much more open to hear what you are saying about mental health. And I mean, we just had with one of the NGOs, we invited women or mothers to come through and have a meetup with us so that we can talk about the experiences of motherhood, what they are going through. And people showed up, a lot of mothers showed up. And so there hasn't been that much of a pushback that we also expected.
Interesting.
All right. Well, listen, guys, good luck to you. I think it's great what you're doing.
Yep.
And I do like us to occasionally shine the light on people who are doing heavy lifting in places where there isn't any of it going on. And I'm glad that now we can say that there are people who are going to be able to get professional help and therapy in Soweto and in parts of the country where that was not available before.
So yeah, I'll book my session soon.
Yeah, you must book your session immediately. Thank you so much. Lovely to have you on the show this morning. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
There we go. That's the first cough of winter for me.
Yeah.
It's not a mental health thing, but it's a health thing.
Hey, let me go get my mask. Just kidding.
Run. Get your mask. And thanks for all the old wives' remedies, the old, what do they call it? The wisdom. If in inverted commas, of people online for all the cures. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to get a cold.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I'm going to get a 3-day cold and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Be back here on Friday for the show. But don't forget, we've also got a Burning Platform on the podcast party tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And plenty more. It's only 7:00, so we still have a whole hour with you this morning, Jack Mutlante and I. And you must stick around. Sanele says you got to have coffee with gin. That's how you've got to do things. Mm. See? Maybe I'll go and make some coffee with gin. We'll go and see how that goes. All right, back in a minute.